DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Esseff. Monsignor Esseff is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered St. Padre Pio, who became a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, and seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
And then when you get the readings of today that the church is offering, it really does need clarification. I think so many of us could be panicky. And the church's mission today, I believe, is not so much to startle and give credence in any way to those prophets of doom who go talking about a Holocaust, nuclear exchange, mankind destroying himself, or the events of the present of earthquakes and floods and nuclear potential that we have of destroying each other. I think the church is saying what she's always said. What's the greatest state to be in? Be in the state of grace. My classmates and my friends, we left the seminary in 1953. We've been preaching this same gospel that we're preaching now. At the end of every church year, we tell the people that this world is going to end. For me, as a preacher, it's going to end. What's the one thing that's universally true? We're all going to die. And so there was one in the history of humankind, and that was Jesus Christ, who came into the world, who was a son of God and a son of man, and he rose from the dead. And one of the teachings in today's readings is from the book of Daniel. Jesus always referred to himself as the son of man, which is in the book of Daniel what the Messiah was called. Daniel tells us in the reading which the church gives us in this time. In those days, I, Daniel, heard the word of the Lord. At that time, there shall arise Michael, the greatest prince, guardian of your people. It shall be a time unsurpassable in distress, since nation began until the present time. At that time, your people shall escape, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever, others shall be in everlasting horror and distress. But the wise shall shine brightly, like the splendor of the firmament, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. And so we hear that. What does that mean? That means if you are in grace, united with the Son of Man, you're going to live forever. You're going to arise from the dust. So all those men who were ordained with me and who preached and who died, they are going to live forever. What's the one thing that the church now teaches you? Because it says you want to live, not everybody is going to live forever, but who will they be? And the selection that the church gives us from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, every priest stands before God daily at his altar, offering frequently those sacrifices that each that can never take away sin. So he's referring here to the Jewish high priest who stands at the altar, and then when he's at the altar, he takes the sins of the people, because he is the priest, and he puts them onto the lamb that is going to bear the weight of the sins of the people and the nation, and then that lamb is killed. But that has to be done over and over again. But this one offering, one sacrifice for sin, and it took his seat at the right hand of the Father, at the right hand of God. And who is that? That's Jesus. Now, he waits until his enemies are under his footstool. For by one offering, he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer offering for sin. Why are you worried? Have you been baptized? Have you been consecrated through, in, and with Jesus Christ? His offering was once and forever. His offering is now, he's at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the end of time. And that will come. And he tells us so. When will that be? He tells us very clearly that we don't know. Jesus said to his disciples, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man, that's the reference that Daniel makes of him, coming on a cloud with great power and glory. And then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the end of the skies. So when that happens, when that judgment happens, now for my classmates, 10 of us were ordained, 9 of us have already experienced that. And my father and my mother experienced that individually. The stars didn't fall, nor did the sun and moon not shine anymore. We have continued living in this world, but there will come a time when it will all end. Then he goes on to say, learn a lesson from the fig tree. When the branches become tender and sprout leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the door. Well, I can really experience that at 84. I'm going to die. And it won't be very long. Will it be this year? And so, learn a lesson from the fig tree. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. And so, as the generation passes, and I see this generation coming up, probably, you know, a generation, another 40 years or whatever, I'm going to be gone before those of you that are listening to me in this generation. Remember that I told you this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Then he tells us, but of the day of and the hour, no one knows. Neither those who are the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And so all those predictors that the end of the world is here have universally been wrong. They've all come, you know what's going to happen this day, sit on the mountain and wait for the end of the world, sell all your possessions and God is going to be coming. No. And now, who are those? You know, can you look to your right and left and see who they are? I don't think we ought to do that. I think on this day, when we go to celebrate the Word, this Holy Word at Mass, and that when we receive the Eucharist, when we're celebrating together, those of us who are Catholic, there'd be people in front of you, behind you, and around you, mainly maybe your children, your husband. Do you know where he's going? You don't. Only God does. And the person that he's speaking to, he and her must sit under their own fig tree. Do you know and are you ready for the coming of the Son of Man? And so this is a very powerful invitation to look inside yourself. Is it the keeping of a law? No. I don't think necessarily. I've kept all the laws. I have a good reputation, and I'm well known among the people. I don't think so. Jesus, when he gives this final judgment day in the Gospel of Matthew, it's not read this particular year, but when the Son of Man comes, he's going to separate, as he indicates here, by his angels. And he has in the Gospel, the 25th chapter of Matthew, the sheep from the goats. And those who are among the sheep that he's going to take to heaven with him, he says to them, I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was sick, and you came to visit me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And they will say to the Lord, when did we do this? And he will say to them, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And then he will say to those who are going to be cast into everlasting hell, I was hungry, and you didn't give me to eat. I was thirsty. And he's going to look at you, and you know, and he knows, he's a just judge. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was sick, and you did not visit me. I was in prison, and you did not come to see me. When did we do that? When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And so that internal awareness of love that we are to have for everyone that we meet. And when we have that, in fact, if you have that here on earth, God has you already in heaven. And so you may not be a baptized, confirmed, ordained Catholic. And you may be listening to me somewhere in China, or you may be listening to me somewhere in Africa, and God knows your heart. He's so loving and so good and so pure because you know the outlook you have to your neighbor. Do you have that love? Love is of the very nature of God. God himself, who is in heaven and has been eternally in heaven and will eternally be there, invites all to come to him in an eternal embrace by the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love, and every soul that's united with the Holy Spirit will be united with God now and forever. When that Spirit of love is in your heart, you will have a tranquility and a peace. Are you in the Middle East? Is that where you're listening? Are you hearing this in Syria? Are you hearing this broadcast in Lebanon? Do you have a love for your neighbor? Then you are already with God, and God is with you. I remember once Shamsuddin was the head of the Shia in Lebanon. A young man who had been in the Christian army put down his gun and knew that there was nothing he wanted to do anymore. I just remember this young man. And he went around begging and asking for funds and money from his relatives and from people that he knew. And as he collected the money, he had it in a kind of a basket or package, and he made his way across the Green Line into the Shiite territory. And there were people who were being shot all over the place. Somehow or other, he made his way to this man. And Shamsuddin told me this story. He gave him this money. I think it was a million pounds, Lebanese pounds. And he said, I'd like you to use this money for the orphan children whose parents and fathers have been killed in the war, to take care of them. He said, because I really believe that's the only way peace is going to come. And he told me, he looked at the young man and said, if there were more Christians like you, there would be no war. You see, the Muslims are not the enemy. They're not the enemy. Anyone who teaches hatred, that's the enemy. That comes from the evil one. That's why Michael will always be our protector, because the evil one is full of hatred. It's the devil who's our enemy. The devil, we call him demonic. Do you know what the word demonic means? Separator. One who separates and divides. Those who are going to hell, people say, well, I don't mind going to hell. I'll have my friends there. There's no friendship in hell. There's no love in hell. Hell is hatred. Hell is hatred of everyone you meet and hatred of yourself. A soul that's carried with hatred is in hell. You carry your own judgment within you. Love is a gathering and uniting power. Love is that which gathers. God, our God, is a loving God. God is the one who has created all of us to be with Him forever in heaven. He created this earth to be a testing ground. Those who fall idols, worshipers to themselves. Who is your idol? What kind of idolatry do you have to your self-centeredness, your self-ambition, your self-centeredness that takes you away from everyone in the world, including yourself? You were made for God. And you were made for love. And God, who made you and designed you, will come after your time of trial. And that's what today is all about in the liturgy of the Catholic Church and in the whole world. Wherever you are listening to this message, in the whole world, you're going to die. What is the best preparation for death? To have a loving heart and an open heart to your neighbor, to your family. Do not be afraid of dying. Be afraid of nothing except your own self-centeredness and your own pride and your own idolatry. And so my prayer today, as we end the church year, the next Sunday actually is Christ the King. He is the King, that high priest that Hebrews talks about. He has taken away your sin and the sins of the whole world. So much did he love you, he died for you. And his offering is universal. When Jesus died on the cross, if you have a crucifix and you look at it, even as a Muslim, look at the cross. See Jesus. See his love. When children are asked by their parents, how much do you love me? And they put their arms out and they say, this much. That's what Jesus is saying to you, his Muslim brother. How much does Jesus love you? And he extends his hands on the cross. This much. This much. He has died for your sins. You are also a sinner, my brother. And the only way you have freedom from those sins is through, with, and in Jesus. In your own Quran, you see him as a prophet. And he is. He is the prophet, the Son of Man, the Son of God, who loves you and wants to bring all of mankind into a unity.
What would you say, Monsignor, to that person listening now who's mad because of what he feels is a wrong happening in the government today? He's fearful because he sees war looming in the Middle East and they're not sure how that's going to play out. They're anxious because they pray to God and yet they don't feel they hear him. But they're on their way to Mass, or they've just left that celebration of the Eucharist, and yet all these things still dwell so heavily in their heart.
You see, our Lord really covered that in his message today. Jesus said to his disciples, are you a disciple of mine? He's saying. In those days, that after the tribulation, there is going to be tribulation. Are you going to be afraid when the sun is darkened and the moon will give its light no more and the stars will fall from the skies? He's telling you, there are tribulations that are coming. And he's constantly telling us, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in his glory. What does he say? Do not be afraid. That's his advice. And so fear has so much to do with punishment. Let the calming power and glory of God. He is right now. Whether he comes in that almighty power of his, or whether this Sunday morning you go to Mass and you celebrate Mass with all that looming behind you, with all that agitation, being on the news, all of that has a potential for being released and projected. But in either case, what is the one thing that you want to be sure of? Your own salvation. Mm-hmm. That eternal union. Because whether it happens to you that this star falling from the sky kills you and takes the rest of the world with you, or individually, you're going to spend eternity where that angel is going to gather you. Where is he going to take you? And so in this time, when these things are happening, and they're happening all over the world, what can I tell you? Where are you going to spend eternity? I remember someone saying about the Day of Judgment, do you have enough evidence that you are a Christian? Have you done enough to prove that you're truly a Christian and in your love? Or have your whole life been so self-obsessed and masturbatory that you have only lived your life for yourself? Now you're the one and you're the only one. Do you approach everything in life of what can I give to my neighbor, my family, the people around me? Or do you approach it, what can I get from them? And is that the way you've been living? This is a time of wake up. This is a time that each individual, and I would tell you there are people who look like they're Catholic, but aren't, and who go to Mass, but are just so self-obsessed. And I really believe that's true. And nothing smashes the mirror of their minds that all they see during Mass and during the week following and before is themselves. How can I serve me? And you continue to genuflect at the altar of your own idolatry. This is a marvelous wake-up call. If that's what you're afraid of, then it's time, as Hebrews says, to have our sins forgiven for that one beautiful one who has forgiven all our sins. But that one sacrifice and for all, go to confession.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
Well, I just am so happy that I have this opportunity to be with each one of you on this 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time. As the end of the year approaches and Thanksgiving is approaching, I bless you. I thank God for you and the opportunity to be with you on this Sunday. And I bless you with the blessing of God. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. May the goodness of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. The powerful love of Christ be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.